Welcome to the TV Deets podcast. My name is Brett and I'm the guy behind the blog. An extension of TVDeets.com, join us for a brand new episode each week as we break down the latest unscripted news and ratings and share exclusive piping hot tea on all of your favorite reality shows. Now, let's get into it. Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the TV Deets podcast. Happy Friday, and if you're listening to this over the weekend, happy weekend. We have so many things to discuss this week. I'm going to share my thoughts on that explosive NeNe Leakes Carlos King interview. We'll touch on the Real Housewives of Atlanta and the Real Housewives of Orange County, give you the latest there, and I'm going to give you a ratings recap for all of our favorite Bravo shows. Plus, I'll run down what else I'm watching other than Bravo, and I'll share some tea about the upcoming season of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Oh, and I have a juicy Potomac update for you after last month's altercation. This is all coming up in the next hour of the TV Deets podcast. NeNe Leakes appeared on Carlos King's podcast earlier this week and basically broke the internet. Now, I'm sure you guys know this, but Carlos was actually an executive producer on The Real Housewives of Atlanta, I think starting back at like season 5 or 6. And the two spent most of the first hour really reminiscing about the show's heyday. Now, Carlos currently works for OWN. He's in charge of the Love and Marriage franchise, so he has Huntsville, DC, and now Detroit. He also has some other shows on WeTV and things like that. Now, when I tell you this was a juicy interview, this was a juicy interview. NeNe gave so much scoop about her time on Bravo, and in my opinion, she looks and sounds the best in years. Now, you may not always agree with everything NeNe says, but you know NeNe is going to give it to you straight, and that's why I love her. So, I just wanted to go over some highlights from this interview. Now, part one dropped earlier this week. Part two is actually going to drop in, I think, the first week of August, so another part coming up, but some crazy highlights. The first thing I took away from the interview is, you know, obviously NeNe had sued Bravo, Truly Original, and Andy Cohen. She was accusing them of fostering a racist work environment, among other, issues in the workplace, and as we all know, that kind of dragged on for quite a while, and last time I checked, I believe that was moved to arbitration and they're dealing with it privately. It could even all be wrapped up. I haven't really looked into it to that extent. But, you know, this contractually probably means that NeNe is free and clear to say what she's saying. I really think Bravo or NBC probably would have stopped this interview from happening if they had any issues truly with it. Because, you know, NeNe and Carlos, they did advertise this. The day before it dropped, they posted photos and videos, and they had a big people exclusive about the podcast, so there definitely would have been an opportunity for Bravo to jump in and say, hold up, shut your mouth, you're not allowed to say any of this stuff. That didn't happen, so I'm going to say that contractually she's able to say what she is. Now, one highlight, we've been talking a lot recently, Bravo fans at least, about pay and salaries and whether certain housewives or certain reality stars are underpaid. On the podcast last week, I touched briefly on Bethany Frankel kind of taking that under her wing and really, you know, talking about the current SAG-AFTRA strike in Hollywood, where all the writers and actors now are basically on strike, nothing's being produced. And that's causing a conversation to ripple over into unscripted. And it has a lot to do not only with, you know, what people get paid for when they first film a show, but residuals. You know, with streaming and the fact that Bravo, for example, now has Peacock, NeNe talks about it a little bit, but Peacock is now, you know, your home for all the housewives. You sign up, you can watch any season, And none of these women are being paid for their time on those shows, creating those iconic moments. So a very interesting conversation. Now, NeNe revealed in the podcast with Carlos King that she only made $10,000 for her first season of Atlanta. And I want to play for you a little bit of what NeNe said.
Did you make your first season of Atlanta Housewives?
I think my first season of Housewives, I made $10,000.
Total?
Total.
Wait a second. You filmed for 3 months on the first season of The Real Housewives of Atlanta, and you made $10,000?
$10,000. Now, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I can go back and check, because it's sure new 120, we did a reunion, and I think they gave us $5,000 for the reunion. So we had very little money. So for all the people, there's a lot of people that say a lot of stuff. They just don't know what they're talking about. Season one, we didn't make any money. We filmed that show and we knocked it out the park and we didn't get anything. Season two, we didn't get anything. I want to say season two, we got probably about maybe $50,000. Season two,
$50,000, and then season three is when you season saw
three,
more than $100,000.
We moved to an attorney. All of us came together, got the same attorney, and we wanted to have favored nation. And I think we got $100,000.
And you, Kim, and Sheree made the same season three.
Yeah,
gotcha.
It was maybe at the most $150,000. We started to make a bag season maybe four.
Season four, okay. Going back.
But we knocked this show out of the park. Do you understand? Those first 3 years.
Yes.
And we were not getting real money at all. At all. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that. Do you think you getting underpaid was because at that time, you girls were so new to this, you just didn't know.
Yes.
Just didn't know.
Very much so. And also, when they say housewives, we all were real housewives, for real. None of us really worked. our husbands were the ones that were working. We were really housewives, stay-at-home moms with the kids. I think Sheree had a boutique at some point. Deshaun, I mean, she had her foundation or whatever it is that she was doing and whatever the little stuff was. But we were real housewives. And so I think for us, we were just excited to be out filming and doing something. That's how I felt about it. I was just happy to be out doing something. So when you see all of us dressing and all those events that we had, we paid for those out of our pockets. Out of our pockets.
Anyway, so NeNe was revealing that basically she made $10,000 in 2008 for the first season of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Now, keep in mind, RHOA, you know, did turn into be Bravo's most popular show of all time, ratings-wise, social media-wise. In the interview, they talk about the ratings. I mean, the show hit 5 or 6 million live viewers at its heyday. So let's talk about this $10,000 quickly. When I heard this, I literally had to sit down. I did a little math, guys. $10,000 in 2008 is worth approximately $14,171 in 2023. So for those of you saying $10,000 was a lot back in 2008, no, it wasn't. And the whole point, I think, is sure, we may undervalue reality TV talent and what they're really doing, but this is a job. It does take hard work. NeNe talks a lot about it in her interview with Carlos that, you know, the first season, they have no idea what they're doing. And it's really all down to the women to kind of make this show pop. And that's truly what she did. So $10,000 for season one. Okay, we can get over that. But I think the conversation comes to now. It's 2023. We have streaming. We have, you know, clips, YouTube channels, all sorts of things where season one clips are still being used. NeNe's likeness is still being used. She is the meme queen if you go on any social media network. So you have to say to yourself, what is all of that worth? And I think that's why we're having this conversation about pay. Now, Bethany mentioned in her podcast that she made about $7,500 for her first season of The Real Housewives of New York. So I think at the end of the day, what they're trying to point out is Bravo has been underpaying talent for a really long time. And it takes, you know, like NeNe talked about, getting a lawyer, getting together to really stake your worth and make sure that you're getting those increases you deserve. So very interesting when we talk about behind the scenes, what it's really like to be a reality star. And for everyone at home thinking, you know, they're just bringing in millions of dollars and all that, they're not. They're very underpaid. Currently, I think new housewives, I've heard as little as $30,000 per season. Now, that's much more than NeNe got paid, but you guys know cost of living. What is $30,000? So, very interesting. Now, in NeNe's interview, she also talked about her relationship with Cynthia. She really went down the line with all of the women on the current cast. She talked a little bit about Candy. She certainly talked a little bit about Sheree. She never thought Sheree was a great housewife. And she didn't think Cynthia was a good fit for the show. And she feels like Cynthia tried to get her fired. Now, I also want to play a little bit about what NeNe said of her relationship with Cynthia, with Carlos King. Let's take a listen.
I know that I loved Cynthia like she was my sister. We had a great friendship. And I think people watching us probably felt like I may have been more of the leader in the friendship, or I may have been more of something. They just don't know Cynthia.
Who is Cynthia behind the scenes that you wish people would see?
Cynthia is quite different than she is, you know, on the scene.
In what way?
Yeah, I think that Kit Cynthia is, she's not going to let you run over her. So that's not possible for people thinking that she's being ran over, or for people thinking that she's quiet. She's very opinionated. She has a lot to say, and she stands up for herself.
Why do you think she didn't want to show that in front of the camera? That's who she is.
There's a lot of these girls that come on the show and they don't show who they are. Remember, I made a conscious decision season one to just be who I am, mm-hmm. right? And some of these girls come on and they just, I don't know, they play with their head. They're like, I don't want to be seen that way, or my family would die if I was seen that way, or my husband doesn't want me to do this, or my boyfriend said I can't do that. And so they just create some character. And I just think that Cynthia never wanted people to really see her be, as she liked to say, 50 cents. Okay.
Do you miss Cynthia?
I miss the friendship that we had, because I feel like we had a really good friendship, and I cherish my friendships. And I feel like, you know, it's hard to find really good friends. And it's unfortunate what happened to our friendship.
But why can't you guys rekindle the friendship?
I don't think that will ever be possible.
Why?
Because I just know some of the things that she has done behind the scenes that I just could never, ever, ever respect. Now I can't respect them, but that doesn't mean I couldn't work with her. I could work with her, but I can't respect some of the stuff that I know for certain that she did.
Did she try to stop your bag?
As much as she was on camera saying I'm trying to stop hers, she was definitely trying to stop mine.
From Bravo?
Of course, from Bravo. I know a lot of things she did, honey. She was in an alliance too, honey.
With producers or housewives?
She was in an alliance with housewives and behind the scene with producers and network.
To get you off the show?
I believe she tried. I think she had a hand in trying to get it done.
Really?
Absolutely.
But how would that benefit her?
I don't know. I think that some of these girls, they feel like maybe if they do certain things, maybe they'll stay on the show longer. Maybe they'll get other opportunities. But for me, I feel like where I think these group of girls go wrong at is if we all stuck together and held hands together so that we can all work and all eat together, we would all be better together. I feel like trying to push this person off the show and push that person off of the show. Obviously, when we go places, people ask us, who do you think should be on the show? Or who do you think shouldn't be on the show? And we all give our opinions. I mean, and we have the right to do that. But that's not saying I don't want the show to be successful and I don't want you to be successful. I might just be saying I don't think you're doing what you should be doing on the show. Because we know together, like, who comes on the show and who's really doing something, who's really trying to put an event together, who's really trying to push the show forward. You guys have a lot of girls who are lacking, but the audience don't know that kind of stuff. They're just looking at the show like, oh, we like her, and Nene's against her. This one is against this one. It's just not like that, but yeah.
Oh, I'm surprised to hear that. Because the thing is, she and you did have a real friendship. And I remember y'all calling me when Kenya had the masquerade ball, and you were like, Carlos, she's trying to play me. It was you and Cynthia on a three-way with me. Should you go? Should you not go? And you did show up to the masquerade ball. You said this epic line of, it's amazing how many friends I have and don't even know about it.
Of course. Still today.
Okay, so clearly Nene and Carlos were having a lot of fun. But this point about Cynthia is very interesting because back in the day, this really tore up the fans when this first came out. Quite a few years ago, Nene actually went on Watch What Happens Live and actually talked about Andy needing to fire Cynthia. And I want to play that clip for you because I think it's really funny.
I didn't bring Cynthia's name up. You did. And I would have to say, Cynthia is, I think everybody knows this. I think Cynthia is okay. It's not like she's really bringing anything to the show. I mean, just to be honest, I mean, she talk about what the Bailey Agency and Bar One. I mean, it's not like they're really talking about anything. So, and then if you have somebody that can't stick, you know, like, you need somebody that can be like, stick to something. You know, if you, when the wind blow, you blow this way, then you blow that way. Girl, bye.
So you were talking about Cynthia.
I'm just saying, since you brought her name up, I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but you brought her name up, so I'm just giving you my opinion on it. I think Cynthia's a good friend, and but I think she just blows wherever the wind blows.
Well, now, she's always blown in your favor.
Not really. She's always been cool with me, but I've never felt like Cynthia, like, put a stamp of approval on it. I feel like,
really?
I feel like if she was over there with Candy, she was over there with Candy. If she was over there with Phaedra, she was over there with Phaedra.
She was over there with me.
I mean,
she was
just
always
wherever.
Your number one loyalist.
I think that Cynthia was my friend. That's what I thought. And I think that Cynthia will blow whichever way the wind blows. That's what I think. When you have a friend and they do something wrong or something you don't like, I don't think you align yourself with the enemy. I think that you stick with your friend and you say, look, we were friends. I liked you. You did this and I did not like that. But at the end of the day, you're not going to align yourself with the enemy.
Why, you think she aligned herself with Kenya?
She did, most definitely.
But she never claimed not to have your back.
Oh, she ain't got my back like that, no. She does not. Mm-mm. She doesn't. Marlo could do anything and talk about me to everybody she want to talk about me to. She could talk about me like a dirty doll. I am never going to sit here with you, with Kenya, none of these girls, and talk about her like a dirty doll. I'm just not going to do it because I was not a friend to her. And I don't think that...
And you think Cynthia has spoken about you like a dirty dog?
I don't know if she's spoken about me like a dirty dog. I cannot say that. What I do know is that you don't align yourself with the enemy. To me, it just says you're weak. That's how it comes off to me.
Is it because she was seated with Kenya
at the
reunion?
No, let me just tell you this, Andy, and I think you know this very well. I've done the reunion show many times. I will sit there on the reunion show, and all of these girls can come against me. And I just sit right there and do me. I'm Nene. Cynthia can do whatever. We're not cool anymore. We're just not cool anymore. That's just what it is. That's just how I roll. I just think that people like to say, they're so loyal and they're such good friends. But then why you can't stand on your own two feet?
Woo! So as you can see, quite the feud between Nene and Cynthia. And it seems like Nene is kicking that up again in her interview with Carlos King. But as you heard on that Watch What Happens Live clip, Nene has been saying this for years. We also saw on Atlanta, I forget what season it was, but there was that hot mic moment where production tried to catch Candy and Cynthia, I believe, talking about Nene. And Nene used that, and that basically ended her friendship with Cynthia as well. So I just think it's very telling what NeNe is saying this in this interview, the fact that it does kind of line up with what she said years ago on Watch What Happens Live. And it just says that, you know, their relationship, there's some stuff to be worked out. So my last thoughts on RHOA, this week they filmed the reunion. Now, they started about 8 in the morning on Thursday, July 27th, and they finished before 8 p.m. A lot of people were mentioning that that seems like a short reunion for Atlanta. Now, keep in mind, we haven't seen the bulk of the drama on the last half of the season with Drew and what's going on with her marriage and whether she has a girlfriend or not. But they did release the seating chart, and we also saw some clips from the reunion behind the scenes. Now, the seating chart is interesting. We have, of course, Andy in the middle. To his left, we have Sheree, Marlo, and Sonia. And to his right, we have Drew, Kenya, and Candy. So we actually have Drew and Sheree in first seat, which is pretty exciting and shocking, I think, for the bulk of fans. And in an interesting move, we have Candy on the end, guys. So I'm not sure if you believe seating arrangements have anything to do with what's going on the next season or casting, but I find them quite intriguing. I do think it is to get the fans going. They want some chatter, so they're going to throw some curveballs, and I think that might be what's going on with Candy. But it does have me thinking, you know, now that this whole thing with NeNe and Bravo is hopefully wrapped up, I mean, I know it sounds like she's really slamming the network in this interview with Carlos, but the way I heard it was she's telling her experience, so I'm going to give you my RHOA dream cast. Now, this isn't a perfect universe. If everything could align for season 16, here's where I think we should go. I think we need to bring NeNe back. She's the queen of the housewives, guys. No one's going to give us a meme like NeNe. So we'll have NeNe back. We will have Kenya as a full-time housewife, Sheree, Cynthia, and let's bring back Portia, because we all know Portia makes fantastic TV. So what if we had Cynthia, NeNe, Kenya, Sheree, and Portia as our main cast? And if we want to expand to some friends, we could have Marlo in a friend role, as well as Drew, because I think Drew brings a lot to the group. And let's put Candy in the friend role as well, guys. Now, you know I love Candy. I'm a Candy stan. But this season, Candy seems a little busy. The women have mentioned it to her a few times that she's not as present, and I believe she was filming her other show, and she was also touring, so there's quite a bit happening for Candy. But I'm just putting Candy in the friend role in case she wants to pursue a little of her other ventures. But she could always be slotted in this full-time. But let's see. Cynthia, NeNe, Kenya, Sheree, Portia, with Marlo, Candy, and Drew as friends. You guys let me know in the comments on the podcast post. Send me a DM. Email me. I want to know your thoughts on RHOA, and I also want to know your thoughts on this NeNe interview. Very, very juicy. Now, for a new segment, I'm going to call Ratings Recap. Taking a look at just the numbers for Bravo, now these are the live ratings. Real Housewives of Atlanta was number one with a 0.27 share of the person's 18 to 49 demo and 860,000 live viewers. Below Deck Down Under comes in next with a 0.19 and 763,000 viewers. Real Housewives of Orange County had a season low 0.18 in the demo and 667,000 viewers. Real Housewives of New York City came in at number 6 for Bravo for the week with a 0.15 and 506,000 live viewers. Luann and Sonia had a season high 0.11 in the demo and 417,000 viewers. And Project Runway took home a 0.10 in the demo and 755,000 live viewers. Now, this was a big week for Below Deck Down Under. They've moved that show from Peacock to Bravo, so these numbers are very, very solid. And of course, our Atlanta Peaches are holding steady at number one. Now, some interesting things out of the week, guys. Again, these are just the Bravo live numbers. Last week on the podcast, I talked a little bit about how Bravo had not talked about the DVR and Peacock numbers for the Roni season 14 reboot. I thought that was interesting because, especially during the last seasons of Vanderpump Rules and The Real Housewives of New Jersey, we got those rating updates all the time. So they were letting us know, hey, here's how many watched on Peacock, here's the record we beat, etc., etc. We didn't hear that for the Roni season 14 premiere until July 25th, or I should say July 24th, the Monday. Now, these numbers were provided from NBC Universal to The Wrap, and according to the article, the Roni season 14 premiere saw a 29% uptick in demo viewership across all platforms when compared to season 13's average demo viewership. According to Bravo, the Sunday, July 16th, which had the Roni premiere, Real Housewives of Atlanta, Crappy Lake, and Watch What Happens Live, is now the second most watched Sunday night on the network in 2023, both among the key cable demographic, adults 18 to 49, and among total viewers. Interestingly enough, the most watched Sunday night remains Sunday, March 5th, which is actually part 3 of The Real Housewives of Potomac Reunion, leading into SWV and Escape, The Queens of R&B. Now, in this release, Bravo also mentioned that Crappy Lake performed well on Peacock, with the network calling it the number 2 most watched Peacock premiere of any Bravo series within its first 7 days on the streaming service. Another fact is, once they tallied all platforms, so this includes digital, linear, and Peacock streams, the Roni season 14 premiere brought in 1.7 million total viewers across all of those platforms. So that was the release on Monday. Fast forward, and we get the ratings for week 2 of New York, the live ratings, and like I said, they ended up at number 6 out of all the Bravo shows, and they were at a 0.15 in the demo, and 506,000 viewers. Now, when you take a look at the ratings for the whole of cable, what was really interesting is obviously Shark Week is taking the top 3 spots, 90 Day Fiancé, and then we had The Real Housewives of Atlanta at number 5. But guys, the Roni premiere dropped all the way to number 20 for the whole week. So we're down at number 20, 0.15 in the demo, and 506,000 live viewers. I blogged about it a bit on tvdeets.com, so go check that article out. But that's why these live numbers are so interesting, because at the end of the day, it sets the trend. If a million people watch the show live, you can bet a lot of people are watching it with streaming. And when not that many people watch a show live, you can also bet the streaming numbers aren't going to grow that much. Now, not to be a hater, I did see lots of positive comments about the Roni premiere hitting 1.7 million total viewers, but as I pointed out in my Instagram story, you'll have to follow me there for all the deets, I did point out that many other Bravo shows in recent months have beat this, including Vanderpump Rules and The Real Housewives of New Jersey. The network did release multiple pieces about those shows, and they were bringing in many more viewers. Now, it's also interesting because Bravo has not released these numbers for shows like The Real Housewives of Atlanta or The Real Housewives of Potomac. So that's not to say those shows don't perform well on streaming or on Peacock, but I personally feel, and what I'm hearing, is that there's nothing really to correct. So when they see the live numbers for those shows and they're really strong, you know, adding in the Peacock numbers every week isn't a priority. I did hear that with the Roni season 14 premiere, that the premiere numbers were kind of lackluster, the live numbers. That's what all the outlets ran with. And that may be why Bravo kind of compiled this across all platforms tally, which we have not seen, like I said, for other shows. So definitely going to watch the Roni premiere. Certainly some very intriguing numbers coming in. Like I said, a big week for Below Deck Down Under, and Project Runway is very, very consistent. So I'll be keeping an eye on the ratings for you, and I will be doing this recap weekly. And if you need more ratings scoop, just go to tvdeets.com and hit the ratings tab. I have all the numbers listed there for almost every Bravo show. Also, shows like OWN's Love and Marriage and MTV's Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. So go check that out for sure. All the latest deets. Okay, you guys, let's talk about The Real Housewives of Orange County. Now, on the podcast last week, I did a full recap of the episode, And I'm not going to do that this week, but I do want to talk about the interesting developments at the end of the episode. So we had Vicky Gunvalson come back, the OG of the OC. She's back. I love the intro music that they gave her. And they're doing tequila shots within a minute. So I loved it. Now, Vicky is back. This scene with Tamara is very interesting. I talked about it on the podcast last week. I personally feel, and also what I'm hearing from people that worked on the show, is Tamara was going to go after Heather Dubrow. And you can kind of see these seeds being planted. That's what I've been asking you guys to watch for each week as we watch Orange County together. This week, you saw Tamara and Emily plant the seeds about how Heather has been spreading some salacious rumors about Shannon's relationship, and it may have come from Shannon herself. So we have this little scene with Emily and Tamara, and they basically decide they're going to talk to Shannon about Heather's comments, and Tamara says, okay, well, we have the pool party coming up. I'm going to see Shannon after the pool party, and I will talk to her then. So I thought that was very notable, you guys, because basically what Tamara is saying is, I care about Shannon, not enough to talk to her about this right now. We're going to have a pool party, deal with some other gen drama, and then I'll get to Shannon. So again, when they're talking about their friends and their friends of Shannon's and they're looking out for her, I'm calling bullshit on that one. So we fast forward to this scene with Tamara, Shannon, and Vicky. The Tres Amigos are reunited and they're having tequila shots. And basically, Tamara says, you know, are you close with Heather? And Shannon kind of details that they had a bumpy year last year. But she says, yeah, we've worked through it and we are close. Tamara says, well, do you think she would ever repeat anything you've told her? And we get that line from Shannon. Nope, she's a vault. I do believe she's a vault. And Tamara just gives her this smirk, the Tamara smirk, as we know it and love it. And Shannon seems to flip. Her eyes change. She becomes like another person. This is season 9 Shannon is about to come out. She flies up from that table, flies across the restaurant, and we actually get a shot of the production table. And basically, they're at the back of the restaurant, and Shannon is saying, you know, hey, whatever Tamara's going to bring up, if it's about my relationship, I don't want it on the air. It will end my relationship. We talked a little bit in the podcast last week about John Jansen and the awkward kind of dynamic with Shannon, but this episode ends on a cliffhanger. We don't know what the secret is. There are a lot of rumors online I've seen that, you know, Shannon may have cheated, John may have cheated, but I'm hearing from sources close to the show that it really just involves kind of what Tamara has been talking about. The fact that these two, Shannon and John, have a messy relationship. We've heard Tamara mention it quite a few times in flashbacks and in scene. And basically, John and Shannon allegedly love the drinks, and when the drinks get flowing, so does, you know, Shannon's Aries personality. As an Aries myself, I get it. Now, an interesting article came out in Page Six just last night. I'm recording this Friday, July 28th, but late yesterday, July 27th, Page Six broke a story and talked about how Shannon had a wild, inebriated outburst, yelling at John Jansen's daughter at a restaurant when they were all together. Now, allegedly, Shannon got escorted from the restaurant by security. Page Six said they saw photos of Shannon being escorted out by security. But Shannon later said, everyone was asked to leave. We did have an argument, but the lights were on at the restaurant, so everyone was being kicked out. Now, John Jansen also spoke to Page Six, and he basically said that verbatim. He said the same thing. There was an argument, but it was at the end of the night, and everyone was being asked to leave. So, sounds like Shannon did get kicked out of her restaurant, but for what and why they were there together in the first place, we're not sure. Now, Page Six also noted that at Shannon's show with the Tres Amigas last month, she did mention that she is on good terms with John. They hadn't spoken in 6 months, but they're allegedly on good terms. Flash forward, they get into this yelling match at a restaurant, and this is all coming as their supposed relationship drama is about to play out on Orange County. So, Shannon's bringing it again, guys. We're going to have to watch her. This John guy, I don't trust. I'm team Shannon already. I don't think it's some salacious rumor about Shannon. I could be wrong, but I think it's more something that reputationally about Shannon and John's relationship, he won't like this. Now, he has a very, you know, financial job. He works in insurance, and from what I'm told, he's very connected in Orange County. He's a wealthy guy. And just in certain circles, like, that's not the stories they want out there. They prefer to have these antics off camera and out of Page Six. But we're going to have to keep an eye on these guys. I did want to jump on and just talk quickly about Orange County. And you'll have to let me know in the comments, what do you think this big secret is about Shannon and John? Are you Team Shannon? What do you think of Tamara bringing this up on camera and trying to blame it on Heather? I think that's also notable. Let me know, guys. I want to hear from you. All things Orange County. Time to talk about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I've been getting a lot of requests to talk about Salt Lake City on the podcast. Part of why I didn't want to just yet is because the season isn't announced. They've wrapped filming, but we haven't heard anything about a premiere. Now, I wanted to include what I do know about this season, because from what I hear, we should hear an announcement coming from Bravo very soon. So I'm told the next week, if not the week after. Now, the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Mary Cosby is back. So starting off, Mary is back. She's expected to play a large part in the season's drama. Now, Page Six was first to reveal Mary's return back in February, reporting that she will appear as a friend of the Housewives. I have not been able to nail down what Mary's role is. There were reports that Mary stopped filming mid-season, but I'm told that wasn't the case. And if Mary did stop filming with the group, which again, I'm told that wasn't the case, she did film on her own. Now, Mary will be throughout the season. I do not think we're going to get a gap in Mary appearances from what I've been told. So, interesting there. In terms of the rest of the cast, obviously Jen Shaw is out. Now, Jen is currently serving a 6-year prison sentence for telemarketing fraud. She did not film any scenes for the new season, obviously, and will not be included on season 4. But I reported on this on TVDeets.com a while back. Despite Jen's lack of participation, producers did allegedly try to convince her husband, Sharif, to appear in a scene with the other husbands. Now, they wanted Sharif to come on camera and detail Jen's current circumstances with the other men. At the time, I was told Sharif had no interest and would never do this. Doesn't trust Bravo and never wants to appear on it again. But who knows? If that's a little herring, red herring, and we'll see a Sharif appearance. Returning for season 4 are original housewives Whitney Rose, Lisa Barlow, Heather Gay, and Meredith Marks. Now, Angie Katsineves, who appeared as Jen Shaw's friend on season 3, is also returning for season 4. I've been hearing mixed things, guys. Angie could end up as a full-time housewife. I haven't been able to confirm that, but she has filmed quite a bit. Other outlets, including Hollywood Life, have pointed out that she's filmed numerous times, and she was on the cast trip to Palm Springs, so that always bodes well. But she was in a friend role last year, so they could also keep her there. Now, Bravo is adding a full-time housewife. We're expected to meet Monica Garcia, and she will be full-time, from what I'm hearing. She was first spotted filming with the cast back in April at an event for Whitney. Not much is known about the newbie, but they all follow her on Instagram. I looked her up, did a little bit of research. She's Portuguese, Colombian, and she's actually the founder and creative director of a company called Brea Baby, where she designs unique, organic, one-of-a-kind pieces. I think she's heavily involved in the drama. From what I've heard from people close to the show, she has a strong personality, and I think that's going to rub some of the women the wrong way, but that's Real Housewives. That's what we like. So Monica is in the thick of it. Now, Angie Harrington, who appeared as a friend during seasons 2 and 3, will not be back, and neither will Dana. Now, I told you guys a while back, Dana had been let go, as had Angie. Neither were asked back for the new season. You know, Bravo really felt like the cast wasn't gelling. This is just what I've heard from inside sources. The cast wasn't gelling last year, and with Jen going away, that really gave them a chance to kind of pivot. Now, they want to see Angie without Jen, because that's how she was introduced. But they had a lot of great women on the deck that they were interviewing and that had actually test filmed. I was told from someone close to casting that the women were fantastic, they were really wealthy, and they had real homes in Salt Lake City, because as you guys know, these Salt Lake City housewives like to move. So according to production, they had great houses, great properties, and really we're going to bring that lifestyle and that glam. And we have Monica out of that. So I'm curious to see what her lifestyle is like, if she can kind of raise the bar for Salt Lake City, because I feel like we need that in some areas. Now, in terms of the drama, according to a report from May from Page Six, Lisa Barlow and Whitney Rose, this is going to be the big feud, and I have confirmed this is pretty much the big feud of the season. It's interesting because they did appear close during season three. I mean, Lisa even appeared in a FaceTime call with Whitney when she was on Girls Trip, so they're no longer friends. And the cast went to Bermuda for a big trip. According to Page Six, they had a big blowout there too. So I'm told that Heather is in the middle of this. Heather is trying to be friends with both of them. So it should be quite, I think, intriguing to see where the dynamics have changed and where Meredith falls in all of this as well. But, you know, Whitney and Lisa are definitely feuding. It's definitely the big feud of the season. And I'm hearing we're getting lots of Mary appearances. So we should be in for a great season of Salt Lake City. I just wanted to give you that little preview because, like I said, we are expecting a Bravo announcement about the new season imminently, and I wanted to give you a little roundup of what I know so far. I promised you a juicy Potomac update, and I'm here with that RHOP update for you guys. So, as you guys probably know, there was a huge blowout fight on Potomac last month. Now, the show has wrapped filming. Season 8 is in the can. It's all done. And I have some exciting developments for you. As you know, in that brawl, we had friends of the show that were involved. Deborah Williams, who is Ashley Darby's real-life friend, and Kiana Stewart, who is being introduced as a friend of Wendy Osefo. Now, to clarify, Deborah was never a cast member. Deborah's just Ashley's friend. She happened to be at that event in support of Ashley. Kiana Stewart was the woman testing to be a friend of the Housewives through Wendy. Now, after the finale, so we had the fight on that Thursday. They had filming on Friday, and then they filmed the finale on Saturday. As I told you exclusively, Kiana and Deborah were not invited to the finale, despite previously having invitations. Kiana was obviously going to be there as a friend of the Housewives, and Deborah was invited as Ashley's plus one. Once the brawl went down, production said, no way, we do not want either of you there, and they were removed, not allowed to come to filming, and had not filmed after Thursday. So that's an interesting development. Now, Kiana, you know, basically went radio silent for the next kind of couple weeks. You saw Deborah posting on social media and showing everyone that she had no cuts and she was fine. Kiana, you guys, went on vacation, but she was actually, like, at home in Potomac, like, on bed rest for quite a few days. I told you, she was in serious condition. Not serious, but she was, you know, hurt, right? And she had cuts. She did go to the hospital after the brawl. And I'm told by inside sources that it was quite bad. So Kiana was actually at home in Potomac, kind of laying low, and then a lot of you guys started sending me posts from her that she was on vacation. Now, if you notice, she had her whole head covered, and I think that was strategic because I'm told, like I said, she did have some head injuries, some cuts. So, never like to see that, but again, I thought the posts were, let's just say, timely. Because as I'm telling you guys, production is not happy with this brawl. They're not excited that this went down. So, I think we could have some casting updates for the season. I had told you who the full-time lineup is, and I don't believe that's changing. But I am now hearing from sources close to production that Kiana could be out of the show due to this brawl. Deborah, like I said, was not a cast member, so Bravo cannot penalize Deborah. Whether she is shown on the season or not, I have no idea. But Kiana, being the signed cast member under contract, they are not happy that this went down. I'm not saying they're blaming Kiana. I'm just saying that's the one that is the employee of the show. So that's where the problem comes in. I am hearing from inside sources that Kiana's role could be taken from her. We may not see her as an actual friend. Now keep in mind, Jacqueline Blake, who appeared last season, has filmed a few times for season 8, as has Charisse Jordan Jackson. Now, I was told that Charisse and Jacqueline are not going to be official friends. I've been seeing some posts from Charisse that say that she is going to be an official friend. I haven't been able to confirm that, you guys, but what I can tell you is if Kiana is on the chopping block or may not end up as a friend of the Housewives, that could open up for Bravo to slot someone else in here who they originally were not going to put in an official role. That has happened before. Contracts have changed. But like I said, when I was told when the women were filming, the only person that had a friend contract was Kiana. So we'll have to stay tuned there. I'm going to bring you the tea whenever I hear it about Potomac. But I did want to jump on and let you know that we have a little bit of an update there. And we'll want to watch that closely as we head towards their announcement. Now, the Potomac cast has also shot their intro. So the intro shot, you know, the opening to the show, the new cast photos were taken on the Sunday following the finale. So we should know. Bravo knows who the cast is. It hasn't come out yet. Again, officially, but I am hearing that we could see some shuffling with the friends. So, again, I'll bring you the tea as soon as I can. Now, a new segment, our last segment for the week, is What to Watch. You guys know I'm a big unscripted fan. I love really all TV, but this podcast is unscripted. So just a few things I've seen recently that I think you should check out. The first one is called Shiny Happy People, Duggar Family Secrets. This is a Amazon Prime Video documentary series, and I believe it's about 3 or 4 episodes. Now, you guys know from 2008 to 2015, Jim Bob Duggar and his wife Michelle were on a TLC reality show called 19 Kids and Counting. Now, they had quite a few different shows over the years, international specials where they traveled to other countries, all sorts of things, but that was their main show. It was one of TLC's most popular shows, if not the most popular show. I did watch it off and on throughout all of those years just because it was a huge reality show. Not my interest in particular, you know, what their lifestyle is and everything like that, but from a production standpoint, I thought it was interesting. Now, this all came crashing down, and justly so, in 2015, when it was revealed that Josh, one of the oldest siblings, had allegedly molested some of his siblings over a decade before. Now, advertisers fled, the main show was canceled, but the family did stay on TLC with a show about the daughters. Now, that spinoff was also canceled once Josh was arrested in 2021 on child pornography charges. Now, Josh was since convicted and he's going to be in prison, I think until late, like 2032, so quite a while. And this documentary series basically breaks it all down, how we got there and what TLC knew, what TLC, you know, maybe didn't do about what they knew, and how this happened and how this was allowed to go on for so long. Now, they interview family members from the Duggars. There's a cousin in there that is absolutely wonderful who tells her story. And you get a really inside look at this family and this religion and really, you know, this cult and how this protected Josh's poor behavior, disgusting behavior for all these years. Now, this was gripping, you guys. I binged this. It was so good. So if you love reality TV, you want to know more about how reality TV was made, this is definitely one to check out. So again, it's called Shiny Happy People, and it's on Amazon Prime Video. Now, the other documentary series I've been watching recently that I want you to check out is a little bit lighter, but just as juicy. It's called Ashley Madison Affair. This is a Hulu documentary series, and in Canada, I watched it on Disney Plus. Now, this was, again, about 3 or 4 episodes, and this really covers the downfall of the Ashley Madison website. As a Canadian and someone from Toronto, hearing so much that, first of all, this was a Canadian company, and the CEO was from here, crazy. Like, I didn't know that whole aspect of it. But they really cover, like, how Ashley Madison tricked people into thinking it was a dating site when really it was a scam. So it was a financial scam. Basically, what they were doing was creating fake profiles to keep men signing up, and they had no women on the platform. So when you put all the moral issues combined with the fact that it was literally a scam, Ashley Madison is quite the scandal. So that's called Ashley Madison Affair, and that's on Hulu or Disney Plus. Now, they interview some, you know, wives who were caught up in it with their husbands cheating. They talk to some people who actually use the site. So you get that aspect as well. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but Real Housewives of New York City fans, Kristen Takeman, when she was on, I think it was her last season, it had come out in the press that her husband, Josh, was actually a member of Ashley Madison. And I believe at the time, Kristen kind of said he was on the site, but had never used it and wasn't an actual member. But he was caught up, Josh Takeman, in that whole Ashley Madison scandal. Now, Kristen never returned to the show, but, you know, maybe if she was willing to talk about that scandal a little bit more, that would have saved her spot. But for now, she's waited till 2023. She's going to be on Girls Trip, so she's good. But just a little Bravo tie-in for you. So again, the two documentaries I want you guys to watch, Shiny Happy People on Amazon Prime Video and Ashley Madison Affair on Hulu. And again, let me know what you think of both. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening and for hanging out with me another hour on the TV Deets podcast. I so appreciate you going on this journey with me. I love all the feedback. Please, please keep it coming. Send me a DM, send me an email, go to tvdeets.com and hit me up. Whatever works. I want to hear what you think of the podcast and what you would like to see on future episodes. But for now, that's it, and I will see you next week.